Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is another episode of Dadcast. I, of course, MJP, joined by Mr. Nick Martin. Nick, how are you?
What's up? I'm good.
Good, good. And, of course, the other guy down there, Mr. Jesse Dugas. How you doing, bud?
I am great. How are you guys?
Fantastic, man. I'm not digging what you're wearing right now, but aside from that, we're good. We're good. You do understand it's baseball season, not football season. You should be putting that in the closet for a few months.
Well, you know, this one's light, and I had an indoor baseball practice, so it kept me from the Jeep to the gym. Just got back from baseball practice. It is absolutely dumping snow here
right now. Yes, it is. Southern Oregon is about to get walloped by a winter storm. He's already getting it. Today on the show, man, it's super duper. It's extra special because we have two incredibly awesome guests, and in no particular order, let's do some introductions. First of all, he's a very good friend of ours. He is lead guitarist for the band Saving Abel, our friend, our pal, the man, the myth, Mr. Scott Bartlett. How you doing, bud?
What's shaking, guys?
How's it going, bro?
It goes, man. Chilling, doing life, doing a podcast.
Excellent.
You forgot to mention that he's an OG member of Saving Abel.
Yeah, well, they're
all original. OGs.
Yes, he's an original. And that goes without saying. It's Scott Bartlett. Come on, Google search him. You'll know. And also joining us, his good pal, and I feel like he's going to become our good pal as well. Front man. Yes, he's a front man. He's not a guitarist. For the band Saliva and a TikTok freaking connoisseur extraordinaire, Mr. Bobby Amaru. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to join us and talk about you and your kids and life and the band and all those good things. Now, I do need to tell you right off the bat that on these episodes, we do tend to sometimes go off the rails, and by sometimes, every single time. So just be forewarned.
All right.
All right. First question.
Sounds like a show.
It is a rite of passage on the show. We ask it of everybody, and I'm going to let Jesse Dugas ask the question first. Go, buddy.
Bobby, are you a dad?
Yes. Dad of three. I have three, 16, 12, and a year and a half, and I have two cats, two Scottish Folds.
Scottish.
And the 12-year-old is the TikTok sensation.
Veda, yeah. My daughter, Veda, yeah.
We're going to get a lot into that today, which it's amazing. If you have not seen what Bobby and his daughter do on TikTok and the solo stuff that his daughter does, 12 years old, mind you, I highly recommend as soon as you're done with this episode, or you can hit pause and come back, but we'd prefer the first. Go check out the TikTok. And just look up Bobby Amaru on TikTok and check out some of the good stuff. I was telling the guys and you off the air about that, how I do a little research on our guests before they come on, and I stumbled across the TikTok page, and the song Lonely Day by System of a Down came on, and that was the first one that just really caught my ear and was just, wow, I was so impressed by the duets that you guys do, and of course, her capacity for singing. It's just, it's amazing, man. You got to be a pretty proud papa, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. She, to watch her growth, you know, and being able to, I think every parent wants to bond with their kids on some level, you know, whether it's sports or whatever it may be, especially the, you know, dads. And I think that being able to bond with her through music is really cool.
That is awesome. Now, of course, we can't leave Scott Bartlett left out. It's been interesting. Yeah, I bet we can't leave Scott left out. We're gonna glance over it real quick, just so you know. But Scott is playing the role of dad lately, you know, with the lady and the kids. And apparently, there's been some sickness with the kids. Is that, tell us about that, Scott? How are you handling the role of dad with a sick kid?
Very patiently, which is not in my nature. Not a kid's fault when they get sick, obviously. Sometimes I'm like, I swear they come home with the Ebola virus and it goes away in 4 hours. I don't understand it. It's like this ferocious sickness and then it just disappears and they're outside playing in the yard. I'm like, what did you catch? Like, how did you? And, you know, I remember teaching And I taught lessons at the Baptist church, which in the mid South, that's its own podcast right there. But the kids would come in and you'd get their guitar and all of a sudden you're sick. They're like these little vessels for disease, but it doesn't, their ailments just come and go quickly, you know? And so you just feel so bad when they're sick, because like I probably the way I've lived my life, I should deserve to have like the worst of all ailments ever, just because I've lived like a freaking animal, you know. Kids are innocent, so you feel so bad when they're sick, you know. And you like all you can do is sit there with them and tell them it's going to get better. But it makes you grow as a person. And I've actually been dating my girl for a year now, and the kids live with me, so it's made me a better person, I think, just having to deal with it, you know.
Good, and as it should.
I'm gonna touch on the kid thing. So like when your 2-year-old is just puking all night, it's really hard to be like, the patience thing like kind of goes away after the 45th pukes episode, and you're like, I just want to sleep. Can we take it to grandma and grandpa? Can start calling it an it?
No, yeah, you notice he said take it.
Yeah. So wife gets a little upset. It's still your daughter. No, it's an it now. It's a gremlin.
And you're like, how are you throwing up? You haven't eaten since the last time you threw up. I don't understand it.
Right? Exactly. Where's this coming from?
Currently at the Dugas household. So I'll go back. When I was in Vegas, my 6-year-old and 3-year-old had it coming out both ends the entire time I was in Vegas. I come back, they're fine. It hit them again 48 hours ago, the exact same bug in 3 weeks. So I'm working long hours currently.
Yeah. And my baby girl just got over it. It was 3 days. She missed school. She was doing the whole puke thing. And of course, and this is no disrespect to mom, I don't understand it, but every time baby girl is sick, she is the biggest daddy's girl. So it's, dad, why are you at work? You need to come home. So I come home. I'm like, okay, here I am. What do you need? She's like, I just need you to lie here. I'm like, baby girl, I got to go to work and do the things. I got to do all the things. Mom's here. You're good. But no, don't go. It's the worst, man.
My 3-year-old Addie's the same way. She fell asleep on me last night and wanted nothing to do with anybody but me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby.
He didn't want nothing to do with me until he's sick. Then all of a sudden it's like, I just want dad. I'm like, dude, why can't we just do the fun stuff?
Come on. We need to talk about some fun stuff. So back to Bobby.
Yes, back to Bobby. I want to go back a few years ago. So you said your oldest is 16. So I'm guessing, let's say 17 years ago is a fateful day in your life. You were told somehow, some way, that you were in fact going to become a dad for the very first time. Can you recall the emotions of that day?
Yeah, I think I was scared shitless for sure. Like, you know, and I was probably 24, you know, I think, you know, just playing music, just doing irresponsible shit. So when you get that news, it's one of those things. I think you're definitely nervous at first, you know, but then you kind of go through the, you know, those stages. And when he comes out, you're like, man, there's nothing like it. It's amazing. Changes you too. It gives you a whole new outlook on life. Gave me a whole new outlook on life, you know. And now he's fucking driving. It's crazy.
I have no doubt. For me, the birth of my first son, he's 13, my first son, my only son for the record, that I know of, saved my life, whether I knew it or not. You know, I was going down a path that, you know, wasn't the healthiest. It wasn't the smartest. I had no care in the world. It was party, 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 drink, drink, drink. Oh, what are those drugs? Let's do those. Yay. And he had him, and it all stopped. And it said, save my life.
That was your purpose, man. That was supposed to happen, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a good thing.
And then the baby girl came along. I'm like, okay, what do I need to fix now? Nope. I got to be better than I was already. Yeah. And here we are carrying on that tradition as we speak.
So the 16-year-old driving your guys' vehicle, you get thrown. What's going on there?
That's an interesting one, because he wasn't like, when I was 16, I was like, I couldn't wait to drive. But he's more like, yeah, I'm all right. I'll drive here and there. He's a pretty good driver. We worked with him when he was 15 and stuff. But he, you know, his grandmother had a car she was going to give him. She's going to give him this like sweet little like BMW car, but it's a 5-speed. Oh. So he's like, he's terrified. He's like, he doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't know how much fun that can be.
Right. My first car was a 5-speed 86 Volkswagen GTI. Dude.
Dang, that was my first. Yes, sir.
And I was like, man, I just went to like a bank parking lot and learned how to do it. It was fine. But you know, you didn't have people on the road with their phones and all that shit at the time. So I think like now he's just too, his anxiety's up if he has to drive a 5-speed. So he's working on getting a car that'll make sense for him. But he'll be driving to school next year. They don't allow you to drive to school unless you're junior or senior. He's a sophomore. So
it's funny you mentioned that, man. We've had a couple guests in the past when we brought up that, you know, driving, and it seems the kids these days that's exactly right. They're like, eh, whatever about driving. And yeah, it's like, what are you kidding me? Like my entire purpose in life starting at 14 and a half years old was to get my driver's license so I can drive. Just go, you know? Yeah.
Dude, it was independence. You right. Got to get away. Out of
the fuck out. It's like, yeah, I'm going to Malibu. Screw it. 30 minutes away. Let's go. And to this day, that was like a 45-minute circle from home to the beach to Malibu, Camarillo, back up, circle. Oh, man, it was the greatest thing ever. Now they're like, whatever. Who cares? My first car, I learned to drive a stick. My big brother, 4-speed, 1983 Toyota 4x. Woo! I recommend all of you dads who have children that are about to become drivers, teach them the ways of the manual transmission. It's just like riding a bike, man. Once they get it, they're going to have it forever, and they're going to have that skill moving forward. There's more control. There's more power. There's more fun. You can jump start it if your battery dies. But I mean, come on.
Is Tesla going to come out with the stick shift,
though? No.
Exactly.
But I mean, so. Maybe, you know, maybe a button you push.
This is a cool story. It involves me and my father. My first car was a 1980 BMW 320i.
Okay.
The two door. We couldn't get it up past 55, 56 miles an hour. And it was my dad's. Then it was my older sister's. Then it was my older brother's. Then it was mine. So I was the last one to get my hands on it. But I remember we would ride in that car to Blockbuster. I was young. We'd all pile in there. So I was like 7. And if I got my homework done, I got to sit shotgun.
At 7 years old?
And yeah.
That's not allowed anymore.
And so I have to try to, the sunroof wasn't automatic. You had to wheel it, like, you know, and it was broken. So you had to literally put your hands in this crevice and just halt smash it, and the wheel would start real fast. And I couldn't do it till I was 9. But my sister was never strong enough to do it, and my older brother wasn't able to do it till he was 11. So it was a big deal that Scott was strong enough at 9 to pull the sunroof open. And what that meant when I got that open was I got to control the tape deck. But the only thing my dad would ever have in the tape deck was Pink Floyd. And so I could fast forward and rewind where I wanted to listen. And so, like, I grew up on David Gilmour by being rewarded for doing good things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just think back on it and I'm like, God, what a cool way to parent. It's like that is gone. Like the rewarding for doing good behaviors.
Man.
It's the ultimate form of discipline, if you ask me.
Man, I just wish Blockbuster was still around.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, man.
So we have a Blockbuster in Oregon. It's the last Blockbuster in Bend. We will be with Thomas Nicholas from American Pie April 7th, doing an acoustic gig, hanging out, filming a music video for his new music video. So I'm stoked for that.
You're all invited. Come on, let's go.
I come on out to Bend, Oregon, and let's hang out with a movie star. And
let's just throw Saving Abel and Saliva in there in a pop-up show at the last Blockbuster. I think that would sell some tickets. I'm just saying.
Blockbuster again. Remember that?
The what?
The smell.
Yeah, you know,
the popcorn.
Popcorn and the dirty carpet.
It's just the ambiance of the whole thing, man. I mean, come on, you guys.
I love renting a DVD and having the case, like looking at the, being able to read fucking movies about and like, okay, this is cool.
I was renting VHS.
Me too.
I'm old enough too. That's right. We're all cut from the same cloth, about the same generation. But man, those nights
getting dinged for not rewinding the VHS.
Yeah,
he's in charge. Like, what the hell? What the fuck is this shit?
Please rewind.
I had a car.
New rentals, so much more expensive this time.
You know,
but for me, you know, I always went with Dad. It was a rite of passage, and I could only go if I earned the right to have a few minutes in Blockbuster and 2 hours to just sit with Dad and watch a movie.
Can you recall, top of your head, a movie or a moment that you did get at Blockbuster with Dad sitting on the couch watching?
Airplane.
Surely you can't be serious.
And exactly. And I actually did, it wasn't a podcast, it was a Johnny Dare radio segment with Leslie Nielsen and Hulk Hogan. They both called in and I was in the studio. But Hulk Hogan hung up on us because Johnny Dare brought up his kid with the driving thing that he wasn't supposed to. And he just goes, the publicist gets on. Yeah, no, you can't talk about his kid. Hulk gets on the phone. He goes, what's up with your fucking kid, Hulk? So it was me and Leslie Nielsen. And Leslie Nielsen goes, well, that was awkward.
I've had my fair share of awkward radio interviews, man. Trust me. Oh, geez. Bobby, we gotta talk about your youngest. How is life when you're at home not touring with a under 2 year old? I want to say toddler, but it's still infant-ishy, you know?
Oh man, she's great. I was putting her down to bed whenever before I got on here with you guys. She's amazing. She's at that age now where she just like, dada, mama, sissy. Like, she's just talking, man, a lot and just walking around, getting into everything. But she's the sweetest, man. I'm a lot more responsible now than I was when I had my first kid, you know? So I think when you have a kid, at an older age, I think you're past all the stuff. You're past your 20s and all that, to where you're like, oh man, this is actually awesome. You know, you're not scared. You're prepared.
Right. The evolution of fatherhood.
It's good, so
it's weird when you get the feeling of it's more fun to be at home with the little ones doing shit with them than out at a bar or out at a concert. Even. Dude, it's like, 100%. It's so cool to see the stuff that they come up with. And you're like, fuck, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. My drunk buddies couldn't come up with that.
Yeah, right. The creativity is through the roof, man.
I just want to point out that Jesse, he wasn't frozen. Jesse likes, I'm calling him out during the podcast. He likes to do his other work while we're filming a podcast.
Hey, just made a post about this podcast with a screenshot of your mouth wide open.
I know. I appreciate that. But for the record, I saw it. You
should have inserted something.
But that was like 5 minutes ago.
Just went out.
Oh, what? Jesus, man. So anyway, check out the social media, Dadcast Podcast, on wherever you get your social media, Facebook, Instagram.
Just follow Jesse Dugas for all the funny, fucked up shit he's going to post of whatever we're doing.
All of it. Hey, so I have a problem, though. Nick has said four fucks, and none of us have said any.
Yeah,
so,
Bobby. I mean, what the hell? Why are you behaving so much? What the fuck, bro?
It comes out. It just, I don't know.
I think it might be only when you're in a car. I don't know how I would know that, but I just think so, you know?
I'm not keeping count, you know.
But Jesse is, apparently. That's funny. Well, yeah, like I said, it's going to take a long time to break the record. I mentioned to you off the air that we had Lit, the band, on, and boy, they just, it was fuckety fuck 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 the whole time. And that was in the beginning of Dadcast. So I didn't know how to handle it. I mean, I knew how to handle it just fine. But coming from radio, I was like, okay, oh, they're saying they're cussing too much. And this is a dad oriented show. How do I do this? How do we navigate that? Now it's like, whatever. It's a podcast. It's life. Fuck.
I've got some questions. Are we ready? Are we ready to get back to the interview section or what?
What? Oh, you got a question?
I do.
All right. Let's hear it.
Bobby, education for your little ones, right? So it's, if I recall correctly, they're in an art school, correct?
Yeah. My son, Douglas Anderson, it's like a high school. It's an art school. He goes there for visual arts. And a lot of the dudes from certain bands, like Wes Borland went there, and the Yellow Car guys, and I think John went there too, and some of the Cold guys from Cold, and it's a great school. It's like top 10 in the country, and for art schools, and it's crazy, man. There's so many talented kids there. It's unreal, dude. And my daughter goes to an art school, middle school, which is kind of like the school you go to get into the art, to the high school. So she goes, downtown to that one for vocal. And then my toddler is, currently homeschooled. So
What's the with Veda? When did you realize that she was gifted? Because she's obviously gifted. I mean, millions upon millions of TikTok views and Instagram and Facebook views. You're a big part of that as well. But when did it click for you that?
Yeah, I think got something. You can't you force talent. You can't really she just naturally has that thing. Think that people are drawn to. There's a ton of great singers out there, but it's like there's something special I feel about her, though, that when we were working with Howard Benson, the guy that produced her EP, he was like, I've worked with 100 singers, and he goes, most of them are not this prepared. Like it just kind of blew his mind at how prepared she was as a 12-year-old, who doesn't have a whole ton of studio experience working with producers. But yes, dad did help her kind of work on a lot of that stuff. And I think all the stuff we've been doing has we've watched her grow, and, but I don't think it was something that I always knew that she would sing and stuff and was always trying to, entertain us and, over the years and growing up. But we never pushed her, pressured her. I think we just, when she was ready to start doing it, I was ready to work with her. And it was when my guitar player passed away last March. I had friends that were always telling me about TikTok. I had a friend, he has like over 1 million followers on TikTok. And he just kept saying, man, you got to be on TikTok, with saliva and stuff like that. And I don't really know where to start, and I don't know that I want to do that. And then just one day I was like, I had her come in this room and said, hey, why don't we just record something and just throw it up and see what happens? And we did the kill, the 30 Seconds to Mars, just put it up, and I didn't even think about it, And then 2 days later, my son, he's the one that came to us and said, cause he was on TikTok and shit. He's like, dad, that video's got 400 views, or went viral or whatever. And I was like, what? And I went and looked and was like, holy shit. You have 100 messages and, 10,000 likes and all this crazy thing. It just kind of, so I was like, all right, we'll do another one. And then we just kept doing it. And it turned into this thing, which is very positive and good. And, I get messages a lot from people, dads and stuff as well, that are like, man, it just makes me feel good that you're able to do that. And a lot of them will spill their heart out and tell me stories about how they lost their kid and a custody battle or whatever it is. And so I do feel there is some, a lot of positive that her and I are doing by doing the duet stuff like that. And, you know, because people love music, you know, people are, you know, we all love music very much, and it's part of our lives. And, you know, be able to just kind of spread it around and do a bunch of different, you know, genres and stuff too. It's just a good way to connect with people. So.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. She's got so much talent. Again, go to TikTok and check out Bobby Amaru's page. I know TikTok, you got to be 13 years old to have your own account. So is there an account that we can check out for her coming in the future?
So that was the other thing that we were battling with, was I was trying to make the account hers and with her name and stuff, but they have rules and they would ban it. It would get banned if it was, but she does have one that I tag her name on every video. And, you know, it's got followers and there's just no post yet, you know? So I was waiting for her to be turn 13 and then figure it out then. But, there's some crazy people out there, man. Yeah. Social media, and they send me some crazy shit. So I'm glad that I've like, have control of that, and I'm able to oversee it, you know, because when I get the crazy things, I'm just like block, you know, and you know, move on. And it is overwhelming. I don't know. I've never experienced anything like this. Like when you open the app, it's just, I don't know where to start. Like it's crazy. That's how, because you're hitting people all over the world. So it's, you know, one viral video, like we put up a Pink song, like, I don't know, a week and a half ago, it's already at like 12 million views. So imagine like the likes, the comments, all this, you can never go through all, you can't go through it all. It's impossible. So, but we try to stay on top of it. I try to like, you know, check it out and respond when I can and stuff, but.
Is she aware of the view counts on the videos?
I mean, sometimes she'll go on like and she'll like something, or she'll, you know, she might comment or whatever, but she just does that on her own. She's not really, she doesn't pay attention to it, which I think is great. You know, I've always been one to just stay humble and always, you know, take the high road in negative situations. And I feel like, you know, you can't, if someone says something negative, it's just whatever, move on, you know, don't let it bother you. And, you know, I will notice that, where I will say one thing that's kind of crazy. Are you guys on TikTok?
Yep. Oh yeah.
So you'll see
literally
there's a negative comment. It's the same thing. I almost wonder if they're like robots or something. Cause you'll click on their profile and they either have like no picture, or they have like no followers, or they have like two followers, whatever. It's just like bizarre, like almost like these. And it's always like that. Like you'll never click on a negative comment and it be someone with like a shit ton of followers. It's
robot just, troll. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty, algorithm.
Yeah.
But man, so I'm just scrolling through your TikTok page that you do with your daughter. And just for example, man, 29.6 million views on the Evanescence Bring Me to Life song, 24 million Linkin Park Numb, 500,000 Kelly Clarkson. I mean, 2.3 million Without Me, 1 million Alicia Keys. And there's just also such a diverse selection of different genres of music that she sings and you do with her, man. It's so cool to see, man. I mean, the success that I could see between you and daughter, it's amazing, man.
It's cool that you introduce her to older stuff too, like Roxette and System of a Down and some of the
that might be my favorite. I listened to it last night.
I want to know who the eight people you follow are though.
What's that? I know I'm not one of them.
He's got 2 million followers, but only following 8.
Right.
Feel free to follow Dadcast and make it 9.
Jarrett Reddick. Jarrett's in there. Mike Shinoda. Okay, you're friends with him, right?
Yeah, Jarrett.
Jared Leto.
Jarrett's the first guy. Jarrett's one of the guys that told me I should get on TikTok. He's one of the first guys He was already doing it at the time pretty heavily too. And he's a good dude. I mean, I love that guy. He's great. And
yeah, he's a good friend. So, yeah.
So when I got on TikTok, I was like, I'll follow Jared. I didn't, you know, didn't really have a whole lot of knowledge about any of it, but he gave me some good insights. And my buddy, friend of mine, Josh Landry, he's doing his project now too. He was like another one that kind of, you know, told me, man, just do it in this room, do it in that room. You know, he and I were chatting one night and so that's kind of where it all started. And, but yeah, she's working on her original stuff. It's done. We're waiting to release it. We're waiting to drop it. So.
And so I'm doing a peeking through TikTok here, and Scott, I'm looking at your TikTok now, bud. We need to find you someone to do duets with.
Well, you know what's funny? I asked Bobby to go out with me and do some acoustic shows right at the beginning,
right,
of what he's doing, and he was like, "Man, I don't have time. I can't keep up with all of it." It's like, and I was because I, you know, Bobby and I have known each other a really long time. Mm. Doing acoustic shows for as long as I can remember, and so do I with my Mad Souls thing where I duet with somebody, and it turns out he already had a duet with his daughter and he was filming it on TikTok, and that's when I really hipped to it, and I was like, dude, this is so cool. Like, it's way cooler than the Mad Souls.
Maybe you should like do some kind of theme, Scott, like where everything you do in your videos is shirtless. I mean, something, right?
Triple nipple.
And make a second account that's called that.
Triple nipple.
Right. Triple nipple. Please, yeah,
don't. Yeah. And we've gone off the rails.
Hey, my fault. Sorry.
So knowing Jared, have you done his podcast yet with Gary, the Rockstar Dad Show?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Right on. I have. So that's our brother podcast. That's we always shout each other out at the end of. We're supposed to. Sometimes we forget, but we shout each other out at the end of our episodes.
Right. Yeah, when Scott told me about this, I thought I was like, wait, I think I may have done that before. he was like, no, it's a different one or whatever. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, I had some fun on that too. That was great.
Yeah, no, Jared's awesome. Gary's pretty cool too. I've known Jared a lot longer and then met Gary through that podcast. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say, you know, having taught lessons for so long, you see a lot of these kids that come in, you can tell they're not into it. And it's like mm-hmm. their parents trying to push it on them because music's supposed to be good for them and whatever. But, you know, it's like he just said, or Bobby said, you know, you can't force or teach talent per se. And I mean, she's obviously so talented. What I like is that it's so carefree, the environment, when you all do these duets. Like, nothing seems forced, contrived. It's just like dad and daughter singing together and kicking ass at it.
Yes.
And it's not overproduced. I mean, it's just honest. I think it's one of the best things I've seen in a long time.
Man, I appreciate that. Yeah. And that's all, like, honest. That's it. That's all we try to do is, you know, not do anything more than that, but also like give her the freedom to kind of do her thing, you know, and that's, and a lot of the stuff too, and, you know, not stick to one specific genre. Cause you'll notice like a lot of her fan base is, and it's all over the place, man. It's, you know, and plus you start gaining a lot of the pop fans and stuff, people that aren't really, they may not listen to a lot of rock.
So is rap next?
What's up?
Is rap next?
No.
I'm like, come on, little NWA action, some Straight out of Compton. Right. Why not? Right.
You know, yeah.
You can ease into it with some 41. You just do a little Fat Lip.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I love some 41.
But we did this song, Eminem. She'd sound good doing that one.
Something like that could be cool, man. Yeah. But like, we kind of dabbled a little bit with the country thing, but not like we did like a Lady A song not too long ago. And then like, she'll do a couple of like Taylor Swift things, but the Taylor Swift stuff's more on the pop realm. But she's got to be into it too. Like a lot of times she'll play me songs, man. And she'll play me songs that I'm like, holy shit, you want to do that? Okay, let's do it. You know, or I would never in a million years think that she would want to.
What's like, her go-to? What does she listen to when she's alone?
She listens to everything, dude. She just like, she was telling me earlier, she goes, hey, we should do this Maneskin song. I was like, who the fuck is Maneskin? I have no idea who Maneskin is. Never heard of this at all. And then I go and look them up and I'm like, Jesus, dude, they got like 50 million monthly fucking listeners on Spotify. I'm like, clearly they're doing something.
Yeah. I had the same issue Post Malone a few years back.
Yeah.
This, and we're talking 10, 15 years ago at this point. And I know, I'm like, who? And I looked it up, and at that point, he already had millions and millions of listeners, Pandora, Spotify, all those. And
right.
God, look what he's done just now in the last 10 years since then. It's just,
dude, he's
so good. He's great.
He's changed the game, and he's crossing genres, man. And now he's doing country stuff. A friend of mine in Nashville's like fucking writing with him right now. It's crazy.
He's got a Luke Combs duet coming out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's not sticking to one, but you know, he was a guitar player in like a metal band before he started doing his thing. So, you know, like someone like that, he's got to being able to get inside his head would probably be pretty interesting and fun with the amount of genre and talent and stuff that that guy's got.
And he's got a baby about the same age as your toddler.
There you go. Hey, man, you know,
I tried. I, for the record, I tweeted him every day for about 3 months just to see if I get a response. And I totally gave up. I had other things to do.
The difference between he and I is he can afford gold plated diapers.
Why would you want gold plated diapers? I mean, let's think about the actual use.
Why would you not want gold plated diapers?
First of all, the toddler's heavy enough when you carry her around for a day, you know?
The rails are over there, gentlemen.
Dude, Jesse, we're talking about gold plated diapers, all right? New guy, Mr. I've only been on 3 episodes. Now he's starting to try to direct things, all right? Tough guy. Gold plated diapers has never been discussed before. I would like to dive deeper into said topic.
You want to dive deeper into a diaper? Okay.
All right. You ready? 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 Reeling it back. Bobby, what is the most difficult thing for you as a father as we speak right now?
The most difficult thing?
Yes.
Man, I think the most difficult thing, I mean, there's nothing. I'm up for the challenge on anything. I'm pretty patient. I'm actually very, you know, my wife says that a lot. Like, man, your patience is crazy. So there's nothing that really, like, you know, I'm not really one of those, like super frustrated and stuff. I'll say the difficult thing is not being able to be here when you're touring, like, and stuff, like being on the road when like shit hits the fan or like, you know, oh my God, the freaking, you know, the cats got out and I can't find them or all right. The shit.
The trivial daily.
Yeah, all the stuff that doesn't happen when I'm here, but like when I'm gone, it's like fucking pandemonium. So, but just that, I mean, I'd say it's the difficult thing, but, you know, because you always want to be here 24/7 and, you know, I want to be here 24/7, but
how often also, do you tour? Typical year, how long are you gone?
We break it up. I mean, like we did a tour last September, to October, which was like 7 weeks straight. I hadn't done a tour like that since like 2016, which was like that Make America Rock tour that we did. But so a long tour, it's been a minute, you know? So we try to just do weekends and, or go out for a few weeks here and there and stuff. But then, you know, you realize it's smarter to go out for 7-8 weeks because all your expenses and in and out with flights and the whole business side of that shit. We could talk about that another time, but yeah, it becomes, you know, a lot, less in your pocket when you're going in and out all the time. So
I know whenever I'm out longer than 3 weeks, I just find a way to get home, even if it's just for 2 or 3 days, whatever. There's like a lull in it, you know,
Yeah. Oh, I do that too. Yeah, I mean, I have to, but for the most part, as much as I can. But that last tour that we did do, it was, there wasn't many gaps, man. There was
That's hit it hard, dude. I saw that.
Yeah. There was not many gaps on that one. But we went out to, I had to go out to California. Check this out. So we went and did this thing, the session with Mike Shinoda, me and Veda did. And it was all like secret, top secret. Couldn't talk about it. Couldn't tell anybody. Everyone's like, why is Bobby going to, because the band was going to Vegas and I had to fly out of Arizona to LA. And I was like, oh, I have to go to LA because I got to go fucking, I'm going to go fucking Uber drive for like 2 days.
I got to do a day. Thing.
You know, so I got to go make some extra money because this fucking tour is making me go broke. So we had just played three shows in a row and then we had one day off and I flew on the day off, got to LA and then went right into the studio and did the session with Mike and we were there for like 6 hours and I was like looking at my watch. I'm like, holy shit, we have a show in Vegas tonight. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, you know? And, I never said anything. I never told them. I never told his people, his management, all are there. I was just like, yeah, man, it's great. Love being out here. It's fucking awesome. And I never said anything about having a show that night. Cause I was not trying to be the one that was like, I got a right rush or whatever. So I was like, I'm singing with fucking Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park. I'm not going to show up to Vegas if that's what happens. But then when we got done and it was like, oh, we took our pictures, did the hugs, all that stuff. I was like, all right, Mike, you're awesome. But I have to run to, I have a show with Saliva in like 3 fucking hours. So jetted to the airport, jumped on a plane, landed in Vegas at 10 p.m. And our stage time was like 10:45 or something, dude. I literally got there and had 5 minutes before we went on stage.
If we could define rock star.
That's what you call coming in hot.
Yeah.
It was about as Axl Rose as you've ever seen.
Man, you probably could have drove there faster than getting to the airport, flying, getting in there. I mean, LA to Vegas was like 2.5-3 hours.
It was like a 45-minute flight, man. It was like, it was nothing. Yeah. You were up and down, but it was just the time. Like the flight didn't leave until later or whatever it was. That was like the last one out that I could take. And I remember just cutting it close.
He's been like, Mike, you got a private jet by any chance? Because here's the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was great.
Has Saving Abel and Saliva ever shared a stage together or performed like same night type thing?
Make America Rock Tours, didn't you?
How many you think, Bobby?
Oh man, 500. I don't know. I mean, we've played a lot of shows together and, I got in the band 13. I'm in my 13th year actually. And, some of the first shows that I did was with them. And that was back when they still had Jared. And then, it's been we play a lot of shows, a lot of tours, a lot of fun times too.
Share a story that no one knows. Come on, give it to us.
Scott is one of my favorite people in the music business. And he knows that. I have a funny story. Let me see. I remember we were making our Rise Up record and we had a house we rented. In
Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville. And he came over. I remember he was in like the living room and stuff, and he was just playing his guitar and meeting, hanging out with him and stuff. Where did we go down? We met you downtown Nashville too at some bar. What bar was that on Broadway?
It was we talked about this earlier. My buddy owns the stage.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it. And that was 2013, wasn't it?
roughly. Yeah. I mean, we've known each other a long time.
So that was like 11 years ago. It's crazy. Time flies. There was
a lot of Jack Daniels.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. But I think
I had just done the Memphis Soul Project, and I featured Scott from Saving Abel and Paul Crosby from Saliva, because we're both Memphis guys. And we took out some Memphis A-listers, like bass player and a singer-songwriter and a keyboard player. And we just did this run. And I'd always known Saliva, and I'd always known the guys. I knew Paul pretty well. But after a 2.5 week tour with him, I knew him like really well. And he went back and was hanging out with the Saliva guys. And he was like, dude, that Bartlett guy parties, man. Like,
oh, my God. No.
We were working on, I think it was the Miss America record with Skid in Nashville. Yeah. And I hit up Paul, and he was like, yeah, you got to come over and say hi to everybody. That's the night that happened. And, you know, you want to talk about some stories. Paul's got some stories from that. That's its own animal. That's its own podcast.
Yeah, dude. He is definitely, he has some of the best stories, actually. Some of the best.
Too.
He has what?
A lot of kids.
Yeah, like six.
Well, sign him up, man. Let's go.
As many as Nick had this morning.
Right, I know. Yeah, Nick's had three kids since we started this podcast, for the record.
Oh, shit.
All right, the guys, gentlemen, man, it's flying. We're running out of time. Normally, we do this segment called the Fast Five, but I'm going to change it up for you on the fly. We're going to do a Fast Three. Each of us get a question for each guy. Nick, go first.
What was it like going from having Beta would have been like 10 when your toddler was born? What was that like, kind of starting over, basically?
You worry sometimes with the, you know, will there be jealousy? I think the fact that Beta was like older already and not like a young toddler, it made that transition, easy. And honestly, both kids embrace, baby A, like it's, they love her to death, man. So they're always doing stuff with her, and it's a big help, actually, because I could say, hey, guys, why don't y'all put her in her bike and walk her down the street? And they'll do it. They get her in their bike. They suit her up, and she's ready. You know, because she's a, you know, toddlers are, man. They want to party 24/7. It's like, you got to go to bed now. And they're like, fuck no. They start freaking out, you know. But, you know, that. But yeah so Beta's a great big sister, and you know, my son's a great big brother.
Is Veda home? Is she home right now?
She is not. She, I took her to a friend's
Friday night
place. Yeah, up the street. So she's got to do 12-year-old shit, man. And she's
I was totally going to put you on the spot and say, come on, man, put her on camera real quick. But you got away with one. Jesse, question number two, pick a guest and throw a question out.
We're going to go Bobby again. So would you rather sing with her or watch her sing?
As much as I love singing with her, I actually enjoy watching her sing, because she's singing songs that I just can't fucking like get in on. You know what I mean? Like, she starts doing some of the Alicia Keys and some of that stuff, and I'm like, I can't fucking sing that. So, you know, I like her being able to do that, and me just watch, you know, from the side.
Love it. So. Scott Bartlett, you could play a show with any artist living or dead who you have not already played with. Who's it going to be?
The Allman Brothers Band.
Didn't even need to think about it. All right, Nick, you're up.
For what? More questions?
Yes. We each get three.
Oh, I thought we only had three questions.
I may not have been clear.
You were not clear at all. Awesome. Bartlett, favorite venue to play at?
Favorite venue?
Yeah.
I got to say, we talked about this earlier, the Gorge.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
So beautiful. We did that with Nickelback, and it was just a picture perfect day. I got pictures of it, and I was so young and impressionable, and I was 27. I thought I had the keys to the kingdom. And I just have these videos of me on stage with 30,000 people. And you pan around and you just see mountains. Just beautiful, man. I remember hitting, I was wireless at the time. I hit the catwalk for the drowning solo. And I was just like, oh my God, this is my life. That was cool. Obviously, I mean, the Gorge, that's up there for me.
Jesse.
Bobby, favorite cover?
Favorite cover?
Yep.
That we've done?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Shit. I like the Roxette one that she it's mainly her in it, but I also
do last night. It was terrific.
Yeah. I like that one. But I like, I'd say one with me singing more, probably The Kill, man. It's great. I like that one. It's good.
Bobby, favorite football team?
Jaguars.
Man. Jacksonville Jaguars. All right. You know, I have no problem with that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, because I love that state of Florida so damn much, I always said if I had to choose another team or my team decided that they just weren't going to be a team anymore, I would pick a team out of Florida and probably be the Bucks. But I like Jayville. I got no problem with that. That's a good answer. What?
Bobby, you live there, right?
Yeah, I'm in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to turn this cat into a zombie cat sometimes, but it's stressful being a Jags fan, you know, but I'm sure there was a time it was stressful being a Chiefs fan too. So
try being a Charger or a Raider fan. It's way more stressful to be a Charger fan. I get that. Dude, I get that. Being but a
Charger fan would definitely that would suck.
You're not wrong.
It would.
You were absolutely. Oh, it is the worst feeling on the planet.
Oh. Yeah.
Nick, oh, the only thing that sucks worse is being a Padres fan.
Oh, yeah. And he's both.
Yes.
So what we're saying is it sucks to be Jesse.
Yes. Well, Scott, what's up?
Hang on, Bobby. Go ahead.
So again, I've known Bobby like 13 years, and I was leading up to this cast, I was checking out his socials, and I see you cross my feed all the time. And obviously, I know your name. I could never put together why Bama Rude was named. I was like, does Bobby have something against Alabama football? I thought it was Bama Rude. It's B-Ama Rude.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Bama Rude?
I was like, what is Alabama football?
I'd have a problem with if you and I were like old friends and, you know, I just call you up or text you or whatever. I've got a bad habit of nicknaming anyone and everyone in my family, whether it's pets or nieces or nephews, and adding the word Rue after it. So like my niece is named Nova. She's Nova Rue. My friggin' dog is Penny Rue. My other dog is Georgia Rue. And you know, now he's saying Bama Rue. It's so easy for me. You'd never hear the end of it. It would just be so automatic and easy. Sorry, off the rails. Nick, you got another question. Pick one.
Okay. This is for both of you guys.
Ooh.
The Blind coming back. They got rid of Rome. They're bringing Bradley's son, Jacob, into do lead vocals. What are your thoughts?
I think it's great. That's
I did like, not know that.
Oh, dude, yeah, he sounds crazy. Just like his dad.
Yeah.
I didn't actually hear the question.
So Sublime is coming back. They got rid of Rome, and they're bringing Bradley's son, Jacob, in to do lead vocals. He sounds just like his dad. It's just, what are your thoughts on that?
It's been done before. I mean, sometimes it's like forced, but I mean, that's a pretty original sound right there. If anybody can do it justice, it's probably in the genes, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. What I've heard is like, it's incredible. I'm like, dang.
That's a sentimental value for me right now. Hearing that is like, I'm in.
Yeah. In the interviews that Jacob has done, just like, wow, the reasons why he's doing it, why he's bringing it back. And it's like, that's cool. It's the two original guys and him.
Mm-hmm. Full circle.
This is where no one talks. I was waiting for Bobby to get a response.
Oh, I just stay in full circle. It's just great.
Oh, I think okay, gotcha.
yeah, it's a, that's, I mean, his dad would be super proud of that. That's awesome.
Jesse, last question.
Both of you, what's up next?
That's a little, well, I'm going to go, make a couple bottles, milk bottles, and, you know, get my diapers ready for tomorrow, you know, all that stuff.
I've got just some kind of meetings, and I don't know if I told you all, I think I did. I bought a studio in Memphis and it's massive. It's 12,500 square feet. And I just found out we've partnered with Stax Recording Academy, which is some of the best musicians in the world. And we got some people that are really hooked up in the sync world. And they want somebody to kind of write like Red Dirt Country for placements and stuff like that. And I think they might put me on retainer. So I'm going to take that meeting tomorrow. In the short run, that's something I'm definitely really into. And, you know, still writing and waiting on some things to go down with Saving Abel. That's about it for me.
Nice. All right. And in a very, very, very immediate future for you, Scott Bartlett, you are currently sitting in a 2-bedroom penthouse suite at some casino hotel that I forgot the name of. If I were to send you $500 in Venmo as soon as we're done here, you're going to let me know if you hit and split, right?
I would 100% do that.
All right.
I don't ever win, so I quit gambling.
You're a liar, your feet stink, and you don't love Jesus. It's because of me, unfortunately, that you seem to win all the time, or at least real well lately. So what was that, Scott?
I know you're a liar because I know your host, and I talk to him.
Ah,
oh, yeah.
Boom. For the record, Bobby, this guy just won 16 grand on a slot machine in Super Bowl weekend in Las Vegas at a machine that I was supposed to be at with him. Okay, that's not entirely true. But
any FaceTime both of us to gloat about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he won. I got it like 17 times. You mainly got one or two, but
you're not even telling the whole story. It was a $16,500 hit, and then I took $1,000 of that to the blackjack table and turned that into three more, and then bounced.
And I said, "Hey, dude, I'm so proud of you." JP cried like a little baby
twice. I even went to bed in the freaking fetal position. I was so upset.
That wasn't even the best part of the trip. I mean, this.
Yes. Show the world that, dude. Show the world that, seriously.
So this, I went to Vegas to handle marketing.
We don't need those details.
All right, so Jim McMahon, it's his event, quarterback for the Bears. At the end of it, this was brought up to him. It was signed by everybody that was there. They had five of them. The other four all auctioned off for a ton of money. And he's on crutches right now because he's injured. And he goes, "I need someone to carry this for me." And I go, "Jim, I'm happy to carry it for you. You know, unless you just want to give it to me."
And he gave it to him. And that's signed by how many people?
I think there's 80 something on it.
All Hall of Famers in all different kinds of sports.
Yeah. So I think it's got 10 NFL Hall of Famers, 7 MLB Hall of Famers, a bunch of UFC people on it. It's big.
It's pretty awesome. It's awesome. And I told you about that FOMO.
So it hangs out right there for a little while.
That is awesome. Party people, he is Scott Bartlett, guitarist for the band Saving Abel, and doing a lot of incredibly awesome things. Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. We appreciate you. We love you. We will talk, obviously, soon. Thank you.
Yep.
He is the other man of the hour, Mr. Bobby Amaroo, front man for Saliva and TikTok, man extraordinaire. I want to leave you with one final question for you, Bobby, and it's one of the more important questions I like to ask on this show. That is, unless Nick or Jesse has anything else.
Nope.
All right. What is one piece of advice that you would give to any brand new father or soon to be father?
I would say, embrace it, because it doesn't last forever, man. It does not. Like, they grow up. I can remember Veda literally being born and it felt like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And now she'll be 13 in July. So it's like, you know, and then my baby now, you know, Aurora, that felt like yesterday. And, you know, she's already, chasing everyone around. So I would say embrace it, enjoy it. And, you know, life is short already. And love it, you know, just make the time count that you're there, you know, when you're with them, because a lot of dads work on the road and stuff like that. So it's like when you're home, just make it count.
Be there.
That's good advice.
Yeah,
it is good advice.
I mean, I get it. My wife and I started over. I've got a 22-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
So I feel you.
Nick has, he ranges from 25 to 1.
Yeah.
And what?
There's 5 point.
And there's 85 of them in between?
Who knows?
Well, there's 5.6 million people in the state of Oregon. And
Nick's let's just say, like, I'm a pro athlete minus the talent and the money.
Oh, once again, check out Bobby Amaru on TikTok. Bobby Amaru, check out his just incredibly awesome, talented daughter and himself doing their thing on there. You will not be disappointed. Check out Scott Bartlett, savingable.com, and SB Creations, right?
Scott Bartlett Creations, yes, sir.
And is there anything else you gentlemen would like to promote while we have the time?
All good here, man.
Check out grindlifestyle.com. And, of course, check out our brother podcast,
The Rockstar Dad Show with Jarrett and Gary from Bowling for Soup.
Yes, good stuff. You'll love that show. It is amazing. Once again, Scott, thank you. Bobby, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. I look forward to doing another one in the future with you so we can talk about your other kids. to everyone watching worldwide, wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to watch us jokers do our thing. We appreciate you. Make sure you go to all the socials, like, subscribe, comment, do all the things, and we'll catch you on the very next episode of Dadcast. Thank you very much. See you.
Peace.